Stephanie.
Welcome to my marathon quest.
And today's show, we have special guest Oscar Kemzika joining us.
You ever feel like you have a talent or potential and you kind of get by on it, but you never really fully realize it? Well, in this episode, we're going to find out how Oscar, an Olympic hopeful, was able to turn his potential for running and take it to the next level and pursue his dream to make it to the Olympics in 2020.
That's right. And speaking of the Olympics, did you ever have a fantasy or dream of competing in any sport?
You know, I think most people would probably think I'll say the marathon or running. But actually, I think the fantasy I have in the Olympics is more related to weightlifting.
So I see those
weightlifters do that clean and press and just kind of the speed and the pure strength involved. It's pretty cool, I have to say.
I could see that. I could see that.
And what about you, darling? What event would you do?
So I've always had a fantasy of being an Olympic figure skater. You know, I'm not that great of a figure skater, and it's really impressive to see their moves and their flips and their jumps. And I really like their costumes, too.
You would be a great Olympic figure skater.
Thank you. So we're going to be picking up our interview with Oscar, where we recorded at Brick Studios. And we really hope you enjoy our talk that we had.
Cool. Oscar, man, you came all the way from the Bronx to Brooklyn. Was it a long trip?
It was quite long. It was about an hour and a half.
Damn.
We appreciate it.
It's a pleasure. Yeah.
You got a nice shirt on there.
Thank you. This is IB Fit. This is my brand. Fitness, hip-hop, and fashion intertwined into one.
Nice.
What we do is we innovate, we believe and empower, we instill belief in people by believing that they can achieve their goals. We're innovative in the sense that we're bringing a new twist to fitness, not just about the physical aspect, but also the mental and the emotional, and we empower people to empower others.
Nice.
Because once you do that, it's like you're making a difference in people's lives. So that's what we're about.
Sweet. Is there a music aspect to your business too?
In a boot camp, a fitness boot camp class this month, and I'm excited about that because that's a different avenue from what I'm used to. I've been a fitness professional for over 9 years now, but I've never done that, like had a boot camp class. And I'm excited about that because that element has a hip-hop element into it. It's not a Zumba class, but it has some dope hip-hop music and inspirational tool to get people in the zone during the workout. So looking forward to that.
Awesome.
Yeah. So the playlist that you'll be using, did you put that together yourself?
Yeah.
Is this music you use to motivate
yourself?
It's
definitely a reflection of me and other gym heads that I work out with. Yeah, for sure.
I know. I definitely have like a couple go-to, like I need motivation songs.
So many of us have this dream sometimes or thought of being in the Olympics. Mm-hmm. And you see these runners running or, you know, weightlifters lifting. Mm-hmm. And then you just have this like fantasy of being there and doing something amazing like that.
Right.
And then we wake up.
Yes.
And we eat the Cheerios or the whatever,
the
Twinkies.
Yep.
Yeah, the Twinkies or whatever. This is a dream of yours, but you've actually pursued this dream wanting to do this. So I wonder if you could talk a little bit about how this became a dream of yours. Mm-hmm. And a little bit about what it means to try to make the Olympics.
It's a grueling process, one.
Yeah.
Even if you haven't competed there, but the preparation by itself, it's like, you know, blood, sweat, and tears. Wake up. That's all you're thinking about.
Mm-hmm.
Thinking about, okay, this is the process, the creative process in your head of race visualization.
Yeah.
And putting yourself in that arena in front of these thousands of people. It's like, you know, and being called an Olympian is the athlete's dream. It's like the Mount Rushmore. It's like the highest peak of one's athletic career. And I'm there the past 3.5 years just visualizing myself there. I did fall short. But I look back at the process, I feel like a champion.
Mm.
If I'm not an Olympian, I'm at least a champion to myself because I went out and I tried and I gave it my all.
Mm.
And win or lose, you know, you just think about how hard you work. You can look yourself in the mirror and say, man, you worked hard.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like a self-respect that you have as an athlete towards yourself.
I wonder if, can you say a little bit about, like, when did you start wanting to do this and the story behind that?
I would say senior year in high school. I was 17 years old. That was like my best year in track in high school, and I was making that transition to just doing this like for fun as a substitute or replacement for basketball, which is my first love, to something that I fell in love with. Then I started looking at, you know, Olympic. I saw the Olympics in Athens the year before in 2004, and I was inspired by that, and I was like, man, what if I can really do this one day, you know? And then the next year, things started to get really serious about college. You start thinking about, you know, running D1 track and how much faster times you need to run and all this stuff, how competitive it is. That was the time for me, summer 2005, when I turned 18. I was an AAU champion down in Florida.
What does that mean, AAU champion?
Amateur Athletic Union. I competed at the AAU championships that summer when I turned 18 in 2005 after I graduated high school. And I won the 800-meter championship in the Eastern region. And that right there was a crowning moment that sparked, you know, the fire and the desire to say, you know what, look, I see myself becoming an Olympian one day. Maybe I can try this.
So you saw it like, hey, I may have a shot here.
It's one of those achievements that lets you know that you're capable of great things. And it just takes hard work, you know, obviously, but you're just dreaming. You know, you're still young, 18. You're like, man, I could do this, you know. You feel like you could take on the world. And then from there, it was just like, going through life. Life hit me, college, of course, and then I had a little bumps in the road where I wasn't as consistent in my training. Looking back in hindsight now, it's always 2020. You think, man, if I was just that serious back then, I would have been an Olympian already. Maybe more than once, maybe two times over by now. You know, so
Where did you go to school?
John F. Kennedy High School in the Bronx, Riverdale area.
Okay, that was your high school?
Yeah, that's my high school, and I went to Lehman College.
Lehman College?
Yeah. And in those years, I kind of took those years for granted as well, because my talent was greater than my work ethic. It shouldn't have been that way. My work ethic should have matched my talent, and it wasn't until, I would say, 4 years ago when I started to really aim towards 2016 Olympics that I started to focus more and be more dedicated and more disciplined in the craft.
So in college, you were talented, so you were winning races.
I was winning races. I was one of the fastest guys on the team. But my work ethic as far as practicing wasn't...
It wasn't matching. Where it needed to be to be the Olympics.
No, it wasn't. Definitely not.
But the fact that you're winning kind of, again, gives you a little bit more...
I can do this.
Yeah. I'm not even trying that hard, and I'm winning. If I tried hard, I could do this.
Yes.
Blow it out of the water,
So then you go through college... At what point was that switch turned on where it stopped being something that you were just kind of using your talent, taking that for granted? At what point did it become, I'm going to really give it my best shot here? And was there something that happened in particular that set that off in you?
Yes. There's a couple things. One big one was the 2012 Olympics in London. I was home just watching, like, man. You could have really been there, dog. Like, this is like, and you just think to yourself, like, what does it really take? Because you're talented, you love this, but you didn't work as hard. So now next time around, you got to make sure you do it. That was it for me, just sitting at home watching the 2012 London Olympic Games. That really hurt me to say, like, man, time is going by. You got to really make this happen for yourself. The other thing was, I look back at all my accomplishments that I achieved in life, and I still had this one thing that I did not achieve yet. That would have made me happy and, you know, paved the way for everything else that I wanted to do in my life, especially my brand. And that was becoming an Olympian, and it still is to this day, because I haven't achieved it yet, but I'm not done.
2012, you're now the fire's turned on. You're feeling it in your heart. You know, it hurts that you're not there. You're going to be like, I'm going to make this happen, right? So then what happens from there? I mean, did you get a coach or are you, because I know you have a lot of experience in education in this too, or are you coaching yourself, or how does that work in terms of actually putting it into action?
So during the games, I was going out on runs. and I'm just trying to get myself mentally there and physically there back into that kind of shape. But you need an extra set of eyes. And you also need surrounding of, you know, a group of people that have the same goal as you. So I was looking for a track club. I haven't been on a track club for a couple of years since, and, you know, I needed to find new motivation. And then my old college coach told me about this kid who made the Olympics who's around in Central Park Track Club. So I joined Central Park Track Club the following fall.
I see.
And that was, like, the changing point for me. Like, I was really, okay, I had a bullseye on this kid's back. Like, I was like, yo, he made it. You know, we won the same race. Why not me? And he's been my training buddy from that time up until, I would say, the fall of 2015.
Nice.
That's when I left Central Park. But, yeah, I've gotten many, many places with that. You know, I've gotten further than I ever thought. I ran some great races. I PR'd, ran my personal best a couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been a great experience running with an Olympian and training with an Olympian.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you mind? What's his name?
Julius Mutekanga.
Okay.
Yeah, he's from Uganda.
All right,
yeah,
awesome.
He ran the 2012 Olympics in London for Uganda.
And you guys are in the same event or a different
event? Yes, 800 meter, yeah.
800 meters.
Half mile, two laps around the track.
So, yeah, say a little bit about that event. 800 meters is how much
mile? It's a half mile.
It's a half mile.
Two laps around a 400 meter track.
Yeah.
For indoors, four laps around. It's a grueling race.
Yeah.
Track runners know that that's one of the toughest races in track and field. For many reasons, it's not a sprint, it's not an all-out sprint, and it's not something where you can conserve too much energy.
Yeah.
It's really like a long sprint.
Really
it's two laps where you can't really hiccup much, you can't think too much, but you can't slow down at all. You got to keep a nice steady pace, and then gun-ho, like really start very well and finish and pull it in towards the finish. So it's a really strategic race, and it's tough mentally and physically.
Yeah.
Oh man, we did the Fifth Avenue Mile with the New York Roadrunners. I don't know if you know that race.
Yeah, I'm familiar.
But we were like, we're gonna run this mile as fast as we possibly can to get our times down, so we're not in like the last corral.
Right.
So I did like 8 minutes something, and that was horrible. And if you go online and look at the pictures, it looks like I'm dying. And they actually make me laugh a lot because I just looked like I was in so much pain.
Yeah.
But I was like, I did it in under 9 minutes. I was really impressed. Yeah. And then they were like, it doesn't count.
It counts for you, though.
It does. It counts in my heart. Yeah. It counts in my heart.
How fast do you do a mile?
A mile? Well, my best was 4:18. But, you know, I don't train for that event. It's a tough race, too, the mile.
Yeah.
You know, but it's half mile is my focus.
Gotcha. So then what's your best time for the 800?
148.8. That's hand time. FAT is 150.73. So I was seconds away from qualifying.
What do you have to do in order to qualify for the Olympics?
They have a standard, Olympic qualifying standards, that you have to reach before a certain deadline, before the games. So this past year, 2016, the deadline was second weekend in July.
Every 4 years, they say, this is the time that you have to be. If you beat this time, you're part of the team? Is that how it works?
You get considered to compete. Right? And in your respective country, like me, I was going to compete for Nigeria.
Yeah.
Because I had that luxury to compete for the U.S. or Nigeria through citizenship. So now, if you reach the time, you would still have to run around qualifying season, which is normally May, June, before July cutoff time. They usually take anywhere between 4 to 8 athletes. It also depends on time, too, globally. So they pull from the most talented and fastest amongst in a particular race. Yeah.
So let me see if I got this straight. So you got to beat the qualifying time, and then you compete in certain races.
Yeah, so it's Olympic trials.
Olympic trials.
Every country has the Olympic trials.
Yes.
So once you compete there, based off time and like top 3 or 4, you're automatically qualified for the games.
And is it one race tournament or is it multiple ones that you have to do?
They have rounds. Yes. So depending on the race, normally it's 1 or 2 rounds, sometimes 3 rounds. You have your semifinals, your quarterfinals, and finals.
I see.
Those competitive races that, you know, 100, 200 meters, they normally have three rounds that you have to go through.
Yeah.
My race for my particular country was just one round because we didn't have too many 800-meter runners. So
we
put us all in one heat. But again, I still had to reach that qualifying standard, I didn't.
You were close.
A few seconds. Like,
I think it sounds like
seconds,
it.
Seconds away.
Yeah. That must have hurt.
I'm never one to give up from something that I really want to accomplish.
Mm-hmm.
So I got 2020 staring me in the face right now. I'm staring it in the face. And I'm saying, okay, Tokyo, this, I'm not going to say it's my last shot, but I know that Father Time, sometimes it's no man's best friend.
Mm-hmm.
So I really want to make it happen this time around, and I know that I know exactly what I need to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I came that close last time around, so I feel like I'm already there. I just got to make it happen.
Do you feel like you're more confident now?
Absolutely.
In terms of actually being able to do it?
Yeah, because I finally went to the trials.
Yeah.
And the preparation, the mentality towards the preparation is the same.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the work ethic,
mm-hmm.
turn it up a notch. Mm-hmm. What haven't I done? Or what mm-hmm. should I do better? Mm-hmm. That's the experience. That's the advantage of having that experience before. Because mm-hmm. you know where you can tweak things and improve and mm-hmm. you know, to make sure you make it next time.
2020. Yeah. Tokyo?
Yeah.
Have you been to Tokyo?
And that's one of the places on my bucket list to go visit, man. Yeah. Yeah, they're very much embedded in hip-hop culture and fashion, too. So that's awesome. And, you know, this brand, hopefully, you know, can make noise out there.
Yeah, definitely. When we were watching the Olympics in Rio this summer, we were, like, trying to work out a mental budget. Like, we should go watch the Olympics. Like, like, why don't we go? So Tokyo, man, I'm down.
Tokyo,
because it's like an excuse to travel, but you're also supporting your country. And maybe we'll actually know somebody competing.
How this process has changed you?
Made me stronger mentally, physically, emotionally. I'm able to handle setbacks better. Mm-hmm. I'm able to handle disappointments better. I'm able to handle the pressures of the moment better mm-hmm. when they present themselves. Mm-hmm. As an athlete, I can now say that I've tried many times, but mm-hmm. I'm not willing to fail or give up. Mm-hmm. I can accept failure, mm-hmm. but only when I've tried. Mm-hmm. When success comes after trying so much, it's even more sweet because now you've experienced failures and you won't take your successes for granted. Mm-hmm. When I do become an Olympian, I can look back at all these times that I was really struggling. Mm-hmm. I wanted to be a story to tell to others, mm-hmm. you know, and inspire others mm-hmm. as well.
Can you say a little bit about what your training is like?
What I'm doing is 2-a-days. I'm doing my morning runs, then I lift sometimes in the afternoon, late afternoon or evenings. My diet, right now I'm not competing. Right now I'm not in competition season right now. But during competition season is more strict. I would, you know, make sure that I get my proteins and eat the right carbs, especially before race day. You want to make mm-hmm. sure you're putting the right carbs in your body. Mm-hmm. The simple sugars, you want to put to a minimum or none mm-hmm. at all. You want to have more complex carbs, mm-hmm. Like the whole wheats and the grains. Mm-hmm. A lot of fruits and vegetables in your diet. You don't want to skip any meals. You want to keep your metabolism up, right? Mm-hmm. And also, I've been more focused on vitamins and mineral intake mm-hmm. to supplement my diet. Because that's very important to, you know, keep my energy levels up mm-hmm. throughout the day.
So you lift weights?
Yes.
What sort of lifts do you do when you lift weights?
Olympic lifts, deadlifts, squats, lunges, different types of core exercises, mm-hmm. you know, just challenging posterior chain, adductors, abductors, mm-hmm. total body conditioning.
One of your specialties is strength training.
Yeah.
And then also weight loss, too.
Yeah.
People say, oh, running, you shouldn't run if you want to lose weight. You should mm-hmm. lift or something like that. Mm-hmm. Or maybe sometimes I've heard people think, and I think we maybe all feel a little bit like this sometimes, where you're running so you feel like, oh, I could eat whatever I want because I'm running so much.
Right.
Or strength training and running, that those two things are not compatible, you know, that you're going to get too big or too bulky.
Right.
So I wonder if you could say a little bit about that. What's the role of strength training? If your goal is weight loss, how does that work mm-hmm. with running?
Okay, so there's a proper balance. Mm-hmm. More muscle you have, the more fat you burn, actually. So if it's weight loss that you're looking for, specifically fat pounds to be lost, then you do want to do some strength training, right? Now, if you do excess cardio, you're taking away from the muscle gain. Mm-hmm. Right, so it has to be a healthy balance. Now, yes, doing both, they are compatible. One helps the other, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Strength training has helped me prevent injuries, especially with running on hard pavements like New York City. We have a lot of concrete around. Mm-hmm. So as a runner, I needed that extra, you know, muscle mass to help, you know, combat against those wear and tears and, you know, the wear and tear of shin splints and all those things, pressure on the knee. That helped me as a runner. Mm-hmm. So, but for weight loss, you do not want to neglect weight training for that reason. It increases your body metabolism, and it helps you burn fat at rest. Mm-hmm. Whereas when you're just doing cardio, you're burning fat calories then and there. Mm-hmm. But when you consume food, sometimes you're just putting it right back. So now how do we keep it off? Mm-hmm. Strength training does, because when you're breaking down the muscle fibers, what is it using to burn fuel? Using fat calories. Mm-hmm. That's why you burn more fat calories and increase body metabolism through strength training. High intensity, yes. High intensity interval training is very effective. Mm-hmm. Cross training is very effective, which incorporates HIIT training, which is high intensity interval training. And they've done studies on it, you know, many times. It shows how you burn more fat calories in a shorter duration. mm-hmm. and how it's more beneficial long term for you mm-hmm. to lose mm-hmm. not just any kind of pounds, but fat mm-hmm. pounds specifically, which is what we all want to do, right? Mm-hmm. Set fat.
You know, this podcast is geared towards people who are novice runners, but really people who are maybe thinking more of doing a marathon or a mm-hmm. longer distance. If you could say a little bit about the difference between training for like a half mile, mm-hmm. 800 meter type race versus a marathon.
The whole program, mm-hmm. it's a lot shorter. Mm-hmm. Obviously, it's a shorter race, mm-hmm. but the approach is you're breaking it up into four parts. Mm-hmm. Whereas the marathon, you're breaking up to a whole lot of parts. I would say that the half mile takes a lot of, you know, discipline as far as the total body conditioning aspect. Mm-hmm. That's where it starts. It starts with core conditioning. Mm-hmm. It starts with strength training as a mm-hmm. base. Mm-hmm. It starts with mileage as a base. Mm-hmm. But then there's a phase where you turn into more speed.
I see.
Right? And that happens a lot quickly than when you're training for the marathon. Mm-hmm. Training for the marathon is a long program of building a strong mile base, mm-hmm. but then you have to build endurance. And it's midpoint, you have to be able to run 18 miles comfortably. Mm-hmm. That's why you have those shorter races, like mm-hmm. the 5K, work your way up to the 10K, work your way up to a half. Mm-hmm. Once you do the half, you say, I'm halfway there. I can do half of a marathon. Now, that does something to you mentally, because now the next step is to run another 5 miles. Uh-huh. You get to an 18-mile mark, in which a lot of marathoners or, you know, people who've run a marathon either once or at least once, uh-huh. they say that mile 18, around mile 18, mile 19, 20, mm-hmm. that's the area at which they start to break down mentally and physically. Mm-hmm. So, and that's interesting because, you know, I had a client who just finished running a marathon, mm-hmm. and she told me that before she got to 20-mile runs, the 18-mile run was the most gruesome. And I've spoken to marathoners, and they told me the same thing. It's like, you know, you're building up stamina. You're building up mental endurance, too, because there's a lot of mental breakdown that happens after running 18 miles. Mm-hmm. So I think that the difference is the approach long term. Like, how do you break down the body to be able to sustain the race, mm-hmm. right? Half a mile is so much shorter than a marathon that I can't even compare the two before. But as a half mile, I can say that, you know, my training philosophy is different from who I've trained, the marathoners that I've trained in the past. Mm-hmm. You know, they have to go through mental hurdles after mental hurdle. With us, it's more conditioning on the physical level, more so than the mental level.
I see.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Juan trained me to do a couple halves, mm-hmm. and I find, like, the 10, mm-hmm. those last few miles are mm-hmm. intense. Mm-hmm. Intense.
Your next one is to just try to run 18 miles, and 18. Then you say to yourself, okay, I can run another 8, maybe.
We'll see. So I'll let you know next time. See you.
So for folks who do want to do a marathon, mm-hmm. any training tips or advice about how they should go about preparing themselves and doing this?
For starters, you want to be able to say you ran a 5K. Mm-hmm. You want to be able to say you ran a 10K mm-hmm. and a half marathon. If you've never done any of those things, mm-hmm. you want to put that on your bucket list first. Your approach...
Baby steps.
Yeah. Your approach should be, how can I run 3 miles comfortably? Mm-hmm. Then how can I run it again and beat that time mm-hmm. that I previously ran? Mm-hmm. And again, that's how you prepare for the 5K. Mm-hmm. 5K is 3.1 miles. Mm-hmm. You get yourself running 3 miles comfortably, get into a groove. Mm-hmm. Give yourself twice a week mm-hmm. starting. Then you move up to 3 times a week running 3 miles. Mm-hmm. Next thing you know, you're accumulating mileage, mm-hmm. right? The more you do something, the better you're going to be at it. I don't want to go into the technical details of training. I'm just trying to be as simple as possible for those who've never run a marathon before. If you run 3 miles and you work your way up to 6, you get to run a 10K, mm-hmm. 5K, 10K. Mm-hmm. After that, you can double up your mileage. Mm-hmm. Next thing you know, you're running 10 miles comfortably. Mm-hmm. Then what's the half marathon? 3 miles more than that. Mm-hmm. So you take it bit by bit, baby steps. Mm-hmm. Confidence builds after that. You start to see that your endurance builds after that. Physical capacity builds. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know, your mental hurdles are being shattered one by one with mm-hmm. each milestone, mm-hmm. from 3 miles to 6 miles to 10 mm-hmm. miles. Then that half marathon is like the biggest one. Mm-hmm. For the marathoners who I've trained and spoke to, mm-hmm. they say after they ran a half marathon, they had to run the marathon. It's almost like a must now.
You work with clients. If mm-hmm. somebody, like, what's that process like if somebody wanted to work with you?
The first thing is I would find out their why. Mm-hmm. I would try to get into their mental. Mm-hmm. Because mm-hmm. I think that's important for people to feel like mm-hmm. They have a motivation mm-hmm. and this is their why. So that mm-hmm. can help them. So I can bring that up whenever they feel down or discouraged. Mm-hmm. Remember you said this is why you wanted to do it? Mm-hmm. You know, there's no backing out now. I think that's important. So with dealing with me, I like to get into the mental of the client first, uh-huh. figure out their why. Secondly, I like to, you know, give them incentives, help them feel encourage them all the time, you know. Mm-hmm. Give them, like, you know, a little pats on the back when they reach a milestone, if mm-hmm. no matter how small it is, mm-hmm. you know, because that's keep them going. That lets mm-hmm. them know that someone's watching, someone's rooting them on, supporting mm-hmm. them through this journey, because it's a long journey, mm-hmm. Especially if you're going from 0 to 26.2 miles, you mm-hmm. know. It's like, you know, you've never been a runner before, mm-hmm. and I know I can do it, because now I have bragging rights that I trained someone who just started running 2 years ago, who just completed her first marathon nice. Yeah. this past November. Wow. And her story is amazing to me. Her mental capacity is what does it.
Yeah.
She doesn't look, she's not built like a runner naturally, mm-hmm. but because she's been doing it, she's been doing the work. You can look mm-hmm. at her now, you can tell she's a tough cookie. Mm-hmm. And she's somebody who I've learned from the mm-hmm. past year and mm-hmm. year and about 16 months, past year and four mm-hmm. months that I've been training her, that, listen, once you're mentally locked in on something and focused mm-hmm. on something, you can achieve it, no matter how big it is. The marathon, mm-hmm. you know, skydiving, or whatever it is, mm-hmm. you can achieve it just mm-hmm. by being that mm-hmm. focused and that mm-hmm. driven. Amazing. Mentally tough.
You brought something up that I wanted to ask, if, as you being also a trainer for other folks, if your clients ever have things offered that to, you know, do they help you learn lessons, or what do you gain from them?
I learn all the time from my clients. Mm-hmm. Like, teaching helps us learn better. I feel like life lessons have been learned from those who quit, from those who, like, look for every little excuse not to mm-hmm. continue on, how they respond to setbacks. Like, a setback for most people was this past holiday season. They might have put on 2 or 3 pounds, you know, from all the stuff they were eating. Or six. But to be able to be resilient and bounce back, mm-hmm. you know, I've learned a lot from my clients. Like, you know, if you are in a rut, if you're in a pattern of not mm-hmm. being resilient and bouncing back when things don't go your way, mm-hmm. you've already lost. Mm. You've already lost. If you have a mentality to say, you know what, time to cut, clean slate, 2017, let's go back at it. You have that it factor to start you towards a winning mm-hmm. mentality. Mm-hmm. Now, if you're thinking, you know what, I don't know, I messed up, you're downing yourself, you know, I don't know if I can do this, then you're not going to win. Mm-hmm. So one thing I learned from my clients is being resilient and sticking to the course, staying mm-hmm. the course is what's going to get you to your fitness goals mm-hmm. eventually. Mm-hmm. No matter how long it takes, 6 mm-hmm. months, 8 mm-hmm. months, 12 months, mm-hmm. you know, resilience and staying mm-hmm. on top of the game mm-hmm. is very important.
So people want to follow you, follow your journey, contact you. What's the best way to do that?
I'm on social media, everything from Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, Facebook. you can follow me at IBFit. Mm-hmm. That's _. Uh-huh. That's like my Instagram and Twitter. I'm also on Facebook. That's www.facebook.com/IBFitApparel. Uh-huh. Yeah, if you Google IBFit, you can find me pretty much anywhere uh-huh. on all social media outlets, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. Uh-huh. Yeah.
The races that you run, uh-huh. There's a season for them. When's the season?
My situation is a little different this year because my coach, who I was working with the past year, mm-hmm. he moved to California.
I see.
So I'm here in New York thinking, okay, who's going to be my coach? Mm-hmm. I can't just replace him with anybody. Yeah, you know, you have to be. I'm at a certain level now. I need to make sure. Mm-hmm. Right. So I've been self-coaching, mm-hmm. which is, I don't recommend that for anybody. Let me just say that right now. No matter how knowledgeable you are, mm-hmm. You do need an extra set of eyes. Mm-hmm. You need a motivating factor that's going to help you get to that next level. Mm-hmm. And right now I'm struggling to find a coach that's going to fit my schedule. But I'm going to start an outdoor season, which is going to be in April.
I see.
So I've made that decision just recently, too. Yeah. I felt like I wasn't yet mentally ready, more so. I think I'm in good shape right now, but mm-hmm. not the shape that I need to be to do what I want to do on the track. So I need that extra push, and hopefully I find it by then.
All right, good, good, good.
Well, if anyone's listening that might be qualified, you know where to find Oscar. Let him know. Yeah.
Yeah. Want to train the next Olympian,
It sounds like moving to Cali is out of the question.
It's gorgeous out there, but, you know, I love New York.
I agree, I agree.
Fitness boot camp class I'm starting
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Very
yeah,
soon. Yeah. It's going to start in New York City. I am planning on traveling out, but New York City is the home where I'm from, so I'm starting it there. Mm-hmm. What I plan on doing is making it an experience, not like your regular Zumba class or cardio kickboxing class. I want to make people understand how to really target different muscles in their body in a short time and really get an awesome workout within 40 to 45 minutes. So
nice.
It's going to be very exciting. And some hip-hop, some dope hip-hop music there as well. And I'm also going to have some fellow fitness professionals help me conduct the class as well. So
awesome.
It's going to be dope.
Yeah. Nice, thanks. All right, good, man. Oscar, man. Okay. Thank you for coming down all the way to Brooklyn and talking with us.
It's been a pleasure.
It's great, man. And looking forward to following you in your journey and having you come back.
Yeah.
And keeping us posted on how things are going for you.
Absolutely. Right. Looking forward to it.
Yeah. Well, that was a really cool interview. We hope you enjoyed it as much as we did.
That's right. So what did you get out of it?
You know, I got a lot out of talking with Oscar, but the one thing that really stands out is learning from your setback. So not letting them kind of bog you down and make you want to give up, but having that perseverance to learn from your setbacks and to use them to your advantage in moving forward.
Yeah. No, that's a great lesson. I think I learned something similar to that. You know, I think so many of us have this sense of really having a dream and maybe even having some talent for it, but we never quite give it our all, you know? And so I think Oscar is a really great motivation for me in the sense of somebody who's like kind of got by a little bit on his talent and his potential, but then he kind of, you know, was willing to really give it his all. And I think when you're willing to do that, there really is no failure then.
That's right. Absolutely. You know,
I think the failure is more when we don't give it our all or
don't try at all.
Try at all.
Yeah.
Maybe out of fear of failure.
Very profound. Yeah. Very profound. So, folks, we're so glad you tuned in to My Marathon Quest. We encourage you to check out our other episodes. If you'd like to watch us, you can check us out on YouTube or on our website at mymarathonquest.com.
Benya.